This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. It seems like every day we're confronted with mixed messages about our identity, our purpose, and our values. It's easy to get confused. Today we continue Pastor Rick's new series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick shares biblical truths and practical advice that will help you and your family grow in your faith, make important decisions, and find significance in the God who created you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of a book written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. It's called Choose Joy, and it's perfect for the trying times we live in. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Being a Disciple in the Digital Age.
If you have a smartphone, you hold in your hand more power than NASA had when they put a man on the moon. There's more power in one little cell phone than we had in existence when America put a man on the moon. You have more technology in your hand. Let me show you what the first hard drive looked like. Look up here on the screen. That was it. That was 5 megabytes of storage. Not very portable, about the size of two men, several thousand pounds. Now, that's 5 megabytes. In your phone right now, you have a minimum, even if you got a cheapy phone, you have a minimum of 1,000 times that in your phone. And you can buy 10,000 times that and put it on your phone. You have no idea how much power you have in your pocket. That's why in 2007, Time Magazine named the iPhone, that's the year it came out, this, the invention of the year. Now, since that's happened, it's been renamed because the cell phone, the smartphone, is by far the most behavior-changing invention in the history of mankind. Nothing else comes close. Not the wheel, not fire, not the steam engine, not the automobile. Nothing comes close to the power of this little invention. Why? Because like with a car, you can do maybe 10 different things with a car. But with this, you can do thousands of things with this. Thousands, literally thousands of things with this. You can have it direct you to the right place with GPS. It's a travel device. You can listen to music, obviously entertainment. You can check your heart. You can do all kinds of studies on your body. You literally can do thousands of things. When they decided to put a computer in a phone, it changed everything. Hundreds of thousands of people in the world, hundreds of millions of people in the world own a computer, but billions own one of these. And that's their computer, and it's the access to everything. Now, when this came out, and it's only been a very short time, less than a decade, that it really changed everything, daily life and daily habits radically were altered. You don't live the same way you did before this came out. Before the smartphone, people actually listened to a phone. Now we look at a phone. By the way, I'm taking a picture of you right now. There you go. I'll put that on Facebook. You'll all be rock stars. Everybody looks at the phone instead of simply listening to it. That's a major change in your behavior. In fact, we look constantly at our phones. Let me show you some images. We look at our phones while we're waiting. You ever seen a picture like, ever seen that happen? It's everywhere. Everybody's got their head down today. They're all looking down while they're waiting. We look at our phone when we're going to work. Look at this. Okay, now, I put that picture up there because there's an interesting story behind it. I got this out of a Boston newspaper. These guys are going to work on a train, elevated train, or I don't know what it was, subway, and a guy walked in, pulled out a gun, and nobody noticed. He put it back in his pocket. A few minutes later, he pulls it out again. Nobody pays attention. He puts it back in his pocket. A few minutes later, he pulls it out a third time. Nobody's paying attention. He put it back in his pocket, gave up, and walked out. Because they were so distracted by one of these. We now look at these while we're eating. Here's a typical family meal. Family of four, they're all looking at four screens. Right there, that's family fellowship in the 21st century. Everybody's looking at their phone. We constantly look at our phones while we're walking. Have you ever seen this? You know, it's kind of interesting. Now, because of this one invite, we are more familiar with the heads of people, the top of their head, than we are their face. Because people are walking around like this all the time, so you recognize the top of their head rather than their face. Of course, we use these in the bathroom. You don't get a picture of that. But you know what I'm talking about. All right? We even look at this screen while we're watching other screens. Here's a family watching TV. And they've all got, you know, because we can't be bored during the commercials, so we're all looking at our screens while we're actually on the sofa watching TV. And then, of course, even take them into the bedroom, and we watch in bed. Now, this couple should be doing something else. But they're looking at their screens. Now, the latest statistic, this is the most recent statistic, is that people check their phone every 12 minutes, on average. Every 12 minutes. That means you look at this little screen 80 times a day if you're an average person. 80 times a day. And that all that change has just happened in about a decade. We have to talk about the implications and the power, both the upside and the downside of this, in your life. Now, because everybody looks at their phone on an average 80 times a day, even famous ad personalities want to get involved. Here's the Corona man. I don't always look at my phone, but when I do, it's because everybody else does. And that's the most mysterious man in the world, if you know who I'm talking about. Now, the other good news is that if you're painfully shy, you're one of the people who's always worried about everybody might be looking at you, and you're worried, is everybody looking at me right now? Relax, nobody's looking at you. Nobody's looking. Do you remember years ago there was a song that came out that says, you should dance like nobody's watching? Do you remember that song? Dance like nobody's watching. Well, here's the truth. Dance like no one's watching because everyone is on their phone, so no one is watching you. So you can act like a total goofball. Nobody's going to pay attention. A guy can pull a gun out and you won't even notice. What is amazing, as I said, is that all this change happened in literally just a few years, in just a decade. I have to share this with you. This is on the internet. My kids asked what it was like growing up in the 80s. So I took away their phone and turned off the internet. That's it. That's the 80s, folks. All right, that's the 80s. This church was started January 1980. That's the 80s. No phone, no internet. That's how different it is. Now, if you're going to spend that much time looking at this the rest of your life, we need to deal with it as a spiritual issue too. So I want us this weekend to look at being a disciple in the digital age. How can I use this for good, and how can I minimize the negative parts of it, okay? And I really want to do a couple things. First, I want us to understand some of the downsides. I don't have time to go into all the downsides, but some of the downsides in this technological power that you hold, and you actually carry it with you all the time. So you actually carry with you a new source for old temptations. The temptations have been around forever and ever and ever. New source for old temptations, but you carry it with you in your purse or your pocket. And then I want to look at five ways to use your smartphone for the glory of God. So I want us to begin by looking at the spiritual hazards of digital tools. We all know what the upside is. This is an amazing tool. It gives you access to the entire world, to the body of knowledge that's out there. And it's just, it's hard to explain how powerful this tool is. But there are spiritual downsides. And so let's look at the spiritual hazards of digital tools. I'm talking about iPhones, iPods, smartphones, laptops, any device that connects you online to the internet. All right? By the way, what is a hazard? Well, if you're a golfer, you know what a hazard is. But a hazard is a potential dangerous trap. If you're walking through a minefield where they've buried mines in the ground, that's a hazardous field. And if you step on a mine, it'll blow you up. By the way, I like to keep you guys up to date. So as your pastor, if you're a golfer, the word hazard is no longer acceptable after 150 years at the golf course. You probably don't know this, but I do. I'm going to tell you. In January 1, 2019, all of the powers that be in golf, the PGA, LPGA, and all of the other golf associations that govern golf, took the word hazard out of the official manual after 150 years. So they're no longer called hazards. Now, in golf, there are two kinds of hazards. There's water hazards and there's sand trap hazards. But now, sand trap hazards are simply called bunkers. Everybody knows what that is, a bunker. But water hazards are now going to be called penalty areas. I'm not making this up. I just didn't want you to be embarrassed the next time you played golf. Don't use that word because it's now out of date according to the official rule book of golf. Some of you, that's all you needed to hear. Go home, okay? Now, I said that you carry a new source of old temptation in your pocket or in your purse all day long. Let me just give you six hazards you need to be aware of. Okay, write these down. We'll go through them pretty quickly. Number one is it can waste my time. I can waste time on my cell phone. Everybody agree with that? Yeah, of course. Time is your most precious commodity. You only have a limited amount of time. If you are an average human being, you will live 27,375 days. 27,375 days. That's the average number of days a human being lives on Earth. If you're over 27 years of age, you've already passed 10,000 days or behind you. And the problem is you're not getting those back. Time is your most precious resource, because you can't get it back. You can't get any more of it. You can always get more money. You can always get more energy. There are a lot of things you can get more of. You can create, but you can't create more time. You have a certain number of days in your life, and that's it. And when you've spent it, it's gone. So life management is really time management. If you learn to manage your time, then you'll learn to manage your life. Now, here's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Be careful how you live. Don't live foolishly. Instead, live as wise people, making every minute count, because these are evil times. Now, notice it says, be careful how you live. You might circle that word careful. We don't use the word careful like they did in Bible times. Today, careful has an implication of you're worried about something. Be careful. Watch out. Don't fall off. Be careful as you walk down that area. It has this is not what it's saying here. The opposite of careful is careless. Careless. He's saying, don't be careless with your life. Be careful. And that means be intentional. Around here, we call it being purpose-driven with your time. That you're intentional. You're deliberate. You know where you're going. You're not wasting your time. You're not careless with your time. You're careful with your time. Now, the latest stat on these smartphones is that in America, you spend, since you look at it 80 times a day, 3.4 hours a day looking at your screen, at your phone. 3.4 hours a day. That adds up to 24 total hours a week you're looking at this thing. And what that means is if you are an average person and you live to an average age, you will eventually spend 11 solid years of your life looking at this. 11 solid years looking at this screen. Now, that means we need to talk, because I'm interested in you not wasting 11 hours or 11 years of your life. And by the way, that doesn't include watching TV. That's another screen. And that doesn't include video games that you play that aren't online. That's just being online through your phone. The Bible says this up here on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Now, you may say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful or beneficial. A thing may be permissible, but not everything is constructive and encourages growth. This is a Bible principle we need to apply here. What is it saying? It's saying some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. They're not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. It's not a sin for you to spend 5 hours watching cute kitty commercials on YouTube, but it might not be the best use of your time. It's not a sin. It's not evil, wicked, mean, bad, nasty. It's just like some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. And you need to say, is this worth me giving my life for? I just gave my life scrolling through a bunch of clickbait. How many of you, I wonder, have, when you were dead tired, instead of going to bed, you're sitting here scrolling through with your thumb, you're barely awake, and you're going click, 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 click. And yeah, that was funny. No, that wasn't. Yeah, that was funny. No, that wasn't. You know, if evolution were true in 100 years, everybody's going to have giant thumbs, okay, because they're exercised. So giant thumbs, big butts, little feet, because we don't walk anywhere anymore, okay, and they're just scrolling on. We'll look very, very different, okay? But how many times have you needed to go to bed and you wasted it on looking at stuff on the internet when really what you needed was sleep? And then you paid for it the next day because you spent a lot of time looking at stuff that didn't matter. The Bible says this on the screen, Proverbs 12, verse 11, only a fool idles away his time. So we know, I don't have to teach you on this one, we all know it's easy to waste time on the internet. Okay, let me give you a couple of others. Number two, a second hazard is I can be seduced by the world's values. I can be seduced by what the world values, the world's value system. Because the internet, and particularly social media, amplify stuff that is not important and make it seem like it's really, really, really important. And it's not. The world and all the advertisers in it are constantly telling you how to think, what to buy, how to feel, what's cool, what's not cool, what's hip, what's not hip. The world is constantly shouting at you through the internet, and you're carrying it with you all day in your pocket. Now, that's not a temptation previous generations of followers of Christ had to deal with because they weren't carrying it with them. But you're carrying advertising with you everywhere you go. And the world's value system of passion, possession, and position, or sex, salary, and status, that's what the world's after. And if you listen to it long enough, you start thinking, well, that must be right. And that must be okay. And you carry that voice with you. Whatever gets you gets your attention. And if you look at something long enough, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start copying it. And you're going to dress like that. You're going to act like that. You're going to think like that. You're going to feel like that. Whatever you look at all the time, you're eventually going to copy. That's why the Bible says this in Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, sometimes life throws us curves. There are little annoyances like traffic tickets and long lines at the market. Then there are deep hurts, like serious illnesses, financial worries, unresolved relational conflicts, or the loss of a loved one. The Bible says it's possible to experience deep and authentic joy no matter what's happening. If you've ever had trouble finding that kind of joy, then you're going to want the updated version of Kay Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. In Choose Joy, Kay shares the path to experiencing soul-satisfying joy no matter what you're going through. Here's Pastor Rick and his wife Kay to tell you more.
The truth is, most people tend to see life as a series of ups and downs. You're either on top of things and everything looks great, or you're down and things are looking really bad. But I find that life is really more like a set of train tracks, so that you get the good and the bad at the same time. They run parallel to each other. And even though something bad may be happening in your life, you can always find something good to be thankful about. The point is this: you can't wait until things are perfect to find happiness, because they're never going to be perfect. That's never going to happen. Instead, you have to choose joy. You have to choose happiness. You know, my wife Kay has been making a conscious decision to choose joy every single day, and it's made a big difference in her life and in our marriage. In fact, she's written a great book. It's called Choose Joy, which I want to send you. But first, I want you to hear from Kay.
Finding joy is a challenge for me. I'm not naturally an upbeat person. I'm more of a melancholy. When I talk about joy, I'm not doing so from the perspective of a generally peppy person who never has a bad day. In fact, it was my own inability to live with joy that led me to explore why my experiences didn't line up with Scripture. My problem was my definition of joy. I thought joy meant feeling good all the time. That's impossible. Even for those who are naturally upbeat and optimistic, it's impossible. We have to start somewhere more realistic and close to Scripture. So here's the definition for joy that I've come up with after studying the Bible. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. You'll find nothing in that definition about happy feelings, because as we all know, happiness is fleeting and temporary. The Bible is really a book about joy. There are more than 500 references to joy, gladness, merriment, rejoicing, delighting, and laughing in the NIV translation of the Bible. You'd think there would be 10 times as many negative references to sadness, mourning, tears, etc., but there are only 158 such references. That tells us that God's Word is a book of joy.
Thanks, Kay. I want you to know that I personally benefited from reading Kay's book, Choose Joy. It's made a difference in my life, and I know it'll make a difference in your life too. That's why I want to send it to you as you send a gift to support the ministry of Daily Hope. You know, we can't continue broadcasting these messages without your support. We're totally listener supported. So if you can send in a gift today, I want to send you Kay's book, Choose Joy, as my gift back to you.
Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.